International news. The global cost of inactivity. The World Health Organization, the WHO, estimates that almost 500 million people worldwide will develop obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and other non-communicable diseases from 2020 to 2030 as a result of physical inactivity unless countries take action. The WHO report states that more than one in four adults and more than 80% of adolescents do not meet WHO's recommended levels of physical activity for optimum health. It also estimates that the global cost of treating preventable diseases linked to inactivity could reach $27 billion per year and a total of $300 billion by 2030.
A shortage of nurses across the world. The International Council for Nurses, the ICN, issued a report in March this year highlighting that there is a shortage of nurses across the world, including in countries that provide nurses for international recruitment. The report says that this worldwide shortage of nurses needs to be considered as a global health emergency. The findings were from workforce surveys from over 25 countries, including the UK. It showed that globally, 40 to 80% of nurses had experienced symptoms of psychological distress since the start of the pandemic. Since the start of the pandemic. The number of nurses reporting an intention to leave their job rose to 20% or higher, and annual staff turnover in hospitals rose to 10% or higher. It is estimated that even before the pandemic, the world shortage of nurses and midwives was 30.6 million, but the pandemic made this worse, with nurses leaving the profession. The report also highlighted 1. A lack of investment in nurse education, which had led to inadequate numbers of nurses being trained globally, and 2. Even countries with a long history of training nurses for them to immigrate to work in higher income countries such as the US and the UK are now suffering from a nursing shortage.
The ICN comment that the toll the pandemic had taken on nurses were getting worse, with many nurses are leaving the profession, and those who remain are so concerned about the after effects on patient safety and the well-being of colleagues that they have had to take industrial action and even outright strikes. The recovery of the nursing workforce is an essential prerequisite to rebuilding health systems, and to think otherwise is a fantasy.
Report: rising obesity, overweight worldwide. Research from the World Obesity Foundation projects that 51% of the world's population, about 4 billion people, will be considered overweight or obese by 2035 if more action is not taken to reverse the trend. Obesity rates are anticipated to increase, the most for children and adolescents, rising from 10% to 20% in boys and from 8% to 18% for girls over the 15-year period to 2035.
California Attorney General sues drug makers over inflated insulin prices. The 47-page civil complaint alleges three pharmaceutical companies that control the insulin market, Eli Lilly, Sanofi, and Novo Nordisk, are violating California law by unfairly and illegally driving up the cost of insulin. It also targets three distribution middlemen known as pharmacy benefit managers. The Attorney General said a vial of insulin cost $25 20 years ago, but now costs about $300. A 2021 US Senate investigation found that the price of a long-acting insulin pen made by Novo Nordisk jumped 52% from 2014 to 2019, and that the price of a rapid-acting pen from Sanofi shot up about 70%. From 2013 to 2017, Eli Lilly had a 64% increase on a rapid-acting pen.
The high cost of diabetes drugs has led to a flourishing black market in the US. Without anywhere else to turn, online communities dedicated to people living with diabetes often become platforms where those in need of insulin and other diabetes supplies can connect with those who have extra. sometimes used equipment such as insulin pumps, glucose monitors, or unwanted insulin, is for sale at deeply discounted prices. This is illegal, but huge hurdles to accessibility have led to a thriving underground trade for diabetes supplies.
Insulin products and patents in the USA in 2004, 2014 and 2020, a cross-sectional study part of the ACCESS study. To treat diabetes, one of the most prevalent diseases globally and in the USA, the US Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has approved a wide range of synthetic insulin products since the early 1980s. Despite this range of products, access to insulin remains challenging in part due to the prices. Drastically increased per-person expenditures on insulins have been accompanied by a shift from animal and human insulins to high-cost analog versions with modified new chemical structures, delivery devices, or other changes. Interesting that many of us who were around at the change from animal to human insulin remember that one of the selling points from insulin manufacturers was that synthetic insulins were easier to make and would be cheaper for the world. That never happened.
Now, good news for Americans. Some relief at long last for people with diabetes in the US who can pay as much as $1,000 a month for the insulin they require. On March 1st, 2023, Eli Lilly announced that it will be cutting insulin prices, some immediately and some later this year. This will include its most commonly prescribed insulins, Humalog and Humulin, by 70%. It will cut the price of its authorized generic version of Humalog to $25 a vial starting in May and will immediately cap monthly out-of-pocket costs at $35. People without insurance will get that $35 price if they sign up at Eli Lilly's website. NBC News reported that Humulin and Humalog and its authorized generic versions brought in a total of more than $3 billion in revenue for Lilly last year and more than $3.5 billion the previous year.
Surprise, surprise. Later in the month, the other two global insulin manufacturers, Novo Nordisk and Sanofi, announced that they too would be cutting their insulin prices. Novo Nordisk will be cutting some of their insulin prices by up to 75% starting next year, and Sanofi will cut the cost of Lantus by 78%, a $35 cap, and Apidra by 74% in early 2024.
Semaglutide, clarification, Ozempic and Rybelsus. Semaglutide is made by Novo Nordisk and was first introduced as a treatment for type 2 diabetes. Under the brand name Ozempic as a once-weekly injectable and as Rybelsus in tablet form, both are used to improve blood glucose control alongside diet and exercise. It can induce weight loss and may also reduce the risk of cardiovascular events such as heart disease and stroke. It is not to be used by people with type 1 diabetes.
Wegovy. In March this year, NICE approved semaglutide under the brand name of Wegovy, again made by Novo Nordisk, but as an option for weight loss and weight maintenance in some obese and overweight adults, alongside a reduced calorie diet and increased physical activity. Wegovy is in a pre-filled pen and is injected once a week. As a weight loss drug, it is only approved for specific groups of people. 1. Adults who have at least one weight-related comorbidity and a body mass index, a BMI, of at least 35 kilograms straight meter squared. And 2. People with a BMI of between 30 to 34.9 kilograms per meter squared with one weight-related comorbidity who are eligible for referral to specialist weight management services could also be prescribed the drug.
In the news, on the 13th of March, The Observer published an article alleging that Novo Nordisk gave millions to obesity charities and healthcare professionals to boost the profits of weight loss drug Wegovy. Some experts who supported the drug are being accused of not being transparent about receiving funds from Novo Nordisk. The Observer report stated that Novo Nordisk paid £21.7 million to obesity charities, NHS trusts, royal colleges, GP practices, healthcare education providers and universities between 2019 and 2021. The Observer described this as an orchestrated PR campaign to boost the drug firm's influence in the UK. Investigators behind the report stressed that there was no suggestion that payments broke any rules, and they also stated that funding recipients had said they were not influenced by money received and that interests had been properly declared. According to The Observer, 1. The European Association for the Study of Obesity received more than 3.65 million from Novo Nordisk between 2019 and 2021, and that this funding was not declared in the charity's accounts. And 2. The World Obesity Federation was paid more than £4.3 million by Novo between 2019 and 2021, which reportedly did not show up in the charity's accounts. Novo Nordisk reprimanded. Novo Nordisk was publicly reprimanded in December 2022 for sponsoring free weight management courses on LinkedIn in breach of code of practice of the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry, the ABPI. As a result, the Royal College of Physicians, the RCP, has ended its corporate partnership with Novo Nordisk following the company's membership suspension by the ABPI for serious breaches of its code of practice. Central to this decision is returning any outstanding grants to the company and putting on hold projects associated with those funds. The RCP publishes names of all major sponsors in their annual report, and funding from the pharmaceutical sector is declared on the ABPI disclosure portal and on all project-related materials.
Just a note, as regular readers know, IDDT is totally opposed to charities and health organisations accepting pharmaceutical company money. What other reasons can there be for companies handing out millions than to influence sales of a drug or a product? In addition, it takes them creative accounting for charities to hide incomes of over £3 million, and surely this is not right.